Good day, world. This is Maria Liberati, and welcome to my podcast, The Maria Liberati Show, where food meets art, travel, and life. Lots of recipes, culinary stories, travels, and more from my Gourmand World award-winning book series and blog, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. I can officially be called a Philadelphia Italian market baby. You see, I was inspired early on at the age of 4 by my shopping trips to the Italian market in Philly with my grandfather to get fresh breads, cheeses, pasta, vegetables, and fruits for our large, unforgettably flavorful Sunday dinners. Fast forward to a trip to Italy for my modeling career that became a 20-year life-changing experience that included learning old-world winemaking, cheesemaking at my family's vineyards and farm, studying the culinary arts, truffle hunting, having my portrait done by a famous Italian artist, working with some remarkable Italian chefs, doing culinary programs at some of Italy's most beautiful resorts and vineyards, creating my book series and trademark, appearing on Italian TV, and having my blog about Mozart featured in the National Museum of Vienna, Austria. And my 300,000 blog subscribers can attest to all this. I'm looking forward to having you as a special guest during my podcast with other interesting, fun, and entertaining special guests where we will be making a connection through food to art, travel, and life. Hope to see you then. We're traveling to Australia today, talking to Yasmin Newman. She is the author of actually 4 culinary books. She's also the culinary director of Marley Spoon Australia. And she wrote this book that I just think it's going to make for a great show today. It's called Eat New York City. And that's one of my favorite places to go around and just find places to eat. So we're going to talk about that, about some of her favorite places, I guess, that she found. How did you get the idea to do Eat New York City?
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. As an Australian, I feel so honored to be writing about such an iconic city. I guess the backstory is, like a lot of people in New York, my brother arrived here, I guess, chasing the American dream. Uh-huh. And that was over 15 years ago now. And, you know, in the time since, has fallen in love with a New Yorker. And so, you know, over the years, I've visited my brother and just been kind of swept up in the incredible scene that is New York. And, you know, as a food writer, had the opportunity to write something about this. So this is actually, Eat NYC is actually my second book on New York. So I wrote one a number of years ago called The Desserts of New York. So that was like an eat, pray, love kind of journey through the city where I just ate desserts for 3 months and shared the, you know, beautiful travelogue behind that. And so this is not, I guess it's not a spin-off of that one, but in my kind of, you know, time being a food writer is kind of how it's come to be. So that kind of connection through my brother and my sister-in-law's family, and also, yeah, just this desire to kind of share, you know, with Australians in the world, you know, what it's like to kind of travel through the city eating its food.
Oh, yeah, because it's such an iconic place. And I should mention, I said Eat New York City, but it's Eat NYC. So just for this,
however you want to read it.
But I mean, it means that. But I just want to make sure for people they go to find it. So tell us about, so did you actually go to all of the restaurants then that you're talking about in the book? Did you get to go? Oh, you did. Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's been a lot of eating, which is, I guess, one of the joys of being a food writer.
Definitely. So tell us about some of the restaurants. So I had mentioned it's National Italian American Month and pasta. There's like a World Pasta Day. So can you tell us about some, I guess we'll start with some Italian restaurants, but then we're going to hear about some others too. So any favorites?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the dish that I've got, I mean, there are a lot of, you know, Italian classic dishes in New York. You know, Italian American culture is very strong here. Yes. But the one I've got in the book is, you know, rigatoni alla vodka, you know, not just known in New York, but is, you know, iconic here in the city. And I guess the restaurant that's best known for that is Carbone over in Greenwich Village. So, you know, it beautifully kind of handmade pasta. You know, you've got the bite of the kind of the you know, Calabrian kind of chili paste and the vodka, and then that kind of sweetness coming through with the tomatoes and the cream. So I actually only got to eat at Carbone just this week. I'm actually in New York at the moment.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Doing a little bit of promotion for the book and getting to visit some of my favorite restaurants again. So Carbone is, you know, been around for many years, but it's, I got got a very long kind of wait list to get into. So finally I managed. I got a midnight booking, and the dish definitely didn't disappoint. It's so beautiful.
That's great. So, any other Italian restaurants?
I mean, like, what I love about New York is that you kind of your old school places and your new kind of trendy hotspots are going to be equally good and equally revered. That's not true of everywhere I've kind of gone. You've got Carbone, which is really kind of hot and sexy, even though it's been around for many years. But then you can just kind of go to your neighborhood kind of corner Italian joint, and it'd be equally good. So yeah, I've toured around and in at a few places. So yeah, it's great.
That's great. That's the one thing about New York. You can almost find anything you're looking for there, modern, old world, in between, anything. So that's great. So tell us about some other restaurants.
Italian or just in general?
Just in general, if you have some others, I mean, if you have some other Italians, that's great. But if you don't, just in general.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, gosh, the list is so long. So
I'm
I guess
sure.
I can probably tell you my eating trajectory this week. So,
Yes.
I mean, some of the classics dishes here, everyone loves pastrami on rye. There is beautiful diner up in Madison Square Park called S&P, and there's a bit of a diner revival happening in the city. So these kind of new school chefs are kind of taking them over, but we're really wanting to preserve what is so special about them. So kind of not changing the menu, really leaning into that diner moment, but I guess injecting a better kind of quality ingredients, because over the years some of that has kind of slipped down. So yeah, we were at S&P earlier this week, and very epic. The sandwiches here, I think in New York, are one of the kind of
Oh,
best.
they are a lot of the delis. Oh my goodness, they're just wonderful. And another, I guess so we did the Italian and then the deli diner thing. Any other types of restaurants you can tell us about?
I mean, another one that's also kind of really iconic for New York, is Jeanne Famous Foods. I fell in love with that about kind of 10 years ago with this, they have the Bang Bang noodles and, the spicy cumin lamb. I think that's representative of how some of these cuisines that, there's over 200 distinct cuisines in New York. And, this one, was just really, popularized by someone who'd grown up eating it here in New York and wanting to kind of share that with the city. And then that kind of spread throughout town. So that was another one that I've eaten this week that I really like.
And what's that called again? I missed the name.
Jeanne Famous Foods. So it's not like a fancy restaurant. It's kind of more of like a hole in the wall, but like knock your socks off, like spicy, tingly, the kind of the thick, wide noodles, and then kind of thinly sliced lamb. Really
So what
beautiful.
type of what culture or what culture is that?
So that's Chinese, Mandarin
Chinese food.
Chinese,
Oh,
from the kind of the city of Jeanne. It's
okay,
quite
yes.
distinctive, and that's what I think is quite interesting in New York. So in maybe other countries, you'll just broadly get Chinese food, or maybe they'll kind of dig into a bit more regionality. But here, I guess, just with the population and the diversity of the people, can get very wonderfully granular in the kinds of cuisines and cities that get highlighted because of the people who live here.
Exactly. Yes, it's wonderful. As I mentioned, you can find almost anything you're looking for. Any other types of restaurants you can tell us about? We have a couple more minutes.
I can't go past bagels. I mean, if you're in New York, you
Yes,
absolutely
no, you
have to.
can't. So, what's your favorite bagel place?
I mean, it's so hard to answer what your favorites are. I mean, I'm in the book. There's a wonderful interview with the owner of Tompkins Square, Park Bagels. He's been around, I think, for a couple of decades now. I'm usually based in the East Village when I visit, so that's nearby. And even on a weekend, the lines are still, kind of spilling around the corner. That's where you'll get, I think, really kind of cool classic bagels. But every time I visit, there's, I guess, a new kind of style that's kind of popping up. So just this trip, I visited a place nearby called Apollo Bagels, and they're a little bit different. They make their kind of bagels with like a sourdough base, which
They
is a little
really.
bit different from, your classic bagel. So kind of super crusted and crusty on the outside, and a kind of a bit kind of lighter and airy, but still that, distinctive, chew that you want in a bagel. But they also, I guess, do their bagels open-faced. So, where you might have your kind of sandwich, they, you eat them open-faced. And, right now it's just the tail end of, tomato season. So you've got your scallion, cream cheese smear, and then these whole kind of tomato rounds on top, which is, just lovely. And
Really lovely, yes.
they say about New York that, one of the reasons that you can't kind of replicate the bagel flavor anywhere else is because of the
The
New York City
water.
water, which is used.
Yes,
And
yes.
you know, I don't know if that's true or not, but like there is a distinctive flavor in chew. And for me, as like a non-New Yorker, when I come here, they are different to where I've tried them everywhere else. And I don't know if that's just being in the city and eating a bagel. It feels, you know, so New York. Or
Yes.
maybe the water.
It could be. Yes, I have heard that. And there used to be a company that would make bagels and breads and things like that. And they actually brought them into Philly, and they would like do it every day, like go back and forth. I don't know if it was New York City or Brooklyn, and they claimed it was the water that made them so good. So, I have heard that before. Definitely. So yes, bagels are definitely one of my top things I love looking for when I'm in the city. How about pizza? Are there, I know there are so many pizza places. There are any pizza places you found?
Yeah, so every time I come back, I try and, you know, you want to go to your favorites, which you
Yes.
invariably do, but you also want to try some different ones. So again,
Exactly.
being, you know, based on the east side, predominantly the city, this trip we went to a place in the Lower East Side called Scars, Scars Pizza. And, you know, you can get a pizza by the slice, you know, lining up late at night, but you can kind of also kind of sit in. And it's yeah, got a really cool vibe, like, you know, hip hop kind of playing and, you know, super casual. They've got like a really nice, you know, you want the iconic New York style, so large and you can fold it over. I guess this one was slightly more distinctive in that slightly more crusted base, but it was, you know, something in the sauce that kind of set it off. So all your kind of classic toppings, you know, pepperoni, margarita, etc. But yeah, their sauce had a little counterpoint that I really liked. But it's so fun, you know, late at night, you know,
Ex
eating
exactly.
pizza,
Getting
yeah,
pizza,
in the streets
yes,
of New York, lining up with everyone, you know.
definitely, definitely. Well, we're almost out of time, Yasmin. So tell us, I know you, I think you have a website. It's just jasminnewman.com. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Or you can also find me on Instagram, Yasmin underscore Newman.
Okay. And your book, people can find that, I guess, anywhere online, also Eat NYC.
That's right. Yeah. If in New York, I've just been visiting all the major bookstores here, signing copies. So if you're around town, you can grab yourself one there. Otherwise, yeah, any of the kind of major retailers online.
Great. Thank you so much, and much success with the book. And if you do another eat whatever, just look, come back again. We'd love to have you on again.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great
Great.
time.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Enjoy your eating.
Thank you. Take care.
Sizzle in the kitchen with me and my gourmand world award-winning book series, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. Unleash your inner chef and transform your meals into Italian masterpieces. Get your copy today of The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Holidays and Special Occasions, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Da Vinci Style, and The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, and taste the passion of Italy. You can get your copies on Amazon.com, at MariaLiberati.com, at ArtOfLivingPrimaMedia.com, on Kindle, and anywhere books are sold.
And my special guest today is Tara Lynn Pilgrim. She's the author of a book called No Scrap Left Behind. And it's a topic that I love talking about. But I'm going to let Tara Lynn tell us a little bit about it and what her the platform is for No Scrap Left Behind. Tara Lynn, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I guess my first question is, how did you get the idea to do a book called No Scrap Left Behind?
Well, it all started when I was learning about world hunger. And I mean, a lot of people don't understand what food waste does to the planet. And we're kind of we just throw things away without thinking about it. But I think all of us have like this little twinge of unease. You know, like maybe guilt or realizing that you just threw out something that costs money. And but anyway, and so I would throw away things and feel that little twinge of guilt, but move on. But after reading these stories about hunger in other places, like it wasn't a twinge anymore, it was like a pang. Yeah, and so I just kind of like decided to step outside of that destructive cycle, and I didn't realize what a positive impact that would have on my life, not just emotionally, but that it would save me time and money, and that it would be fun, and that people would be interested. I'd be able to inspire people. So it, you know, this one act really paid off in so many big ways.
Yes. And I think that, I mean, my when I first really got into, you know, being aware of food waste and reusing food was when I began living in Italy, because they had such a history of having to reuse food because, you know, people just didn't have it. And they found really creative ways to reuse food, which some of the recipes are now served in like some of the most expensive restaurants in the world. Mm-hmm. But I really got into that. And it really taught me, wow, you know, you're absolutely right. So you're wasting this food that is right now, especially with the cost of food being so expensive, it's really not something, one, you shouldn't be doing, as you're saying, and two, there's no reason to. Mm-hmm. So what do you get, like in the book, do you get into any suggestions or ideas on how to, you know, how to reuse food that people would think they should just throw away?
Oh, absolutely. So when I started this, I wanted to see what it would take to get to zero waste. And I wanted to do it for at least a year. Uh-huh. I ended up doing it for 2 years.
Wow.
Right. Uh-huh. Because it took about a year for me to figure out how to even do it. Because there's information online, like there's like cookbooks, uh-huh, and blog articles, but none of them were comprehensive enough.
Right.
So I didn't just talk the talk, I walked the walk, you know, like I did this. That's and great. So this book has basically everything you need to know. So like I talk about what to do on vacations, uh-huh, you know, I talk great. About what do you do with kids? Uh-huh. You know, and I upcycle leftovers, and I talk about scraps that people think are inedible. Like,
right.
Yeah. Everything you can, that you need to know is there.
So tell us, just to give us an idea, if you can think of something off the top of your head, what would people normally think? Oh, that's something I just have to throw away, that you have a way to, for people to just reuse.
You know, it's so funny. I started this in 2017, and you would think that I would have learned everything there is to know by now.
Right.
But I'm learning new things all the time. And exactly. Right now I'm experimenting a lot with cauliflower leaves.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my most recent experiment. I've been trying to make kimchi a lot for gut health. That's a really good, really good thing to make kimchi with. You can saute it. So I think my next task will be to see, you know, how to make a stir fry with cauliflower leaves.
Uh-huh. That's a great idea. Yeah. A lot of the tops, like even beet greens, I'm sure you've worked with the tops of the mm-hmm. beet and celery and stuff like that, are all usable and people don't realize. So what, do you have any tips? I know you really went gung ho with this because obviously you did the book. So you had uh-huh. to. But right. For people to kind of slowly get into this, how would you recommend for somebody to get into, you know, being really conscious of, because I see it all the time, you know, I'm invited to events or like, you know, even like people's homes, and I see them throwing away food, and it just kind of almost breaks your heart because it's like, oh my God, they're mm-hmm. throwing away good stuff that, you know, they should be finding a way to reuse or maybe donating it to a food bank or local food bank or something. But mm-hmm. anyway. So any tips on how people can slowly, you know, get into this so it makes them more conscious?
For sure. So I have like a 9-step program. The first step is to start kind of fresh with your kitchen because, you know, people who throw away food willy-nilly have spotless kitchens because they don't have to, you know, worry about it. But for people like me, where you try really hard not to waste food, but you don't know how, you accumulate stuff and you don't know what to do with it. So the very first thing you need to do is empty everything out uh-huh. and be real with yourself. Be like, I have had this for years. I am not going to eat it. I don't want this, or this right. is bad. And then, either donate it or have a pantry swap party with your friends or, that's you know, give it to idea. Friends. Get to a point where the only things that are in your kitchen are things that you can eat and want to eat.
Huh?
And then since everything should be emptied out anyway, just clean your shelves and clean your fridge and put it all back. Uh-huh. And then the most important step is not to buy too much food.
Right.
Okay. So clearing everything out is the first step. Stop buying too much food is the second step. Uh-huh. If you can do those two things, then it won't feel like you're like crowded with this burden of stuff.
Exactly.
And it gets so much easier from that point.
Exactly. That's great. And sometimes if you buy too much stuff, it's a good idea if you can freeze it, if you have the room and you're able to just freeze like fresh fruits or vegetables, right? That's a good idea too. Just dump it in a soup if you're going to make a soup, fresh veggies or even the leaves like you were talking, cauliflower leaves, bee tops, whatever, you can put in a soup also. That's good. But those are all great tips because I do definitely recommend that people get into. And some of that stuff like that people throw away is actually has more of the nutrients in it that are good for you. You might have found that out than the actual item that people are eating. So a lot of times, the leaves and all have loads of vitamins and things that people are missing out on. But that's
Totally.
yes, definitely. That's great. So is there any favorite, just before we go, any favorite dish or recipe or something that you came up with something that was left over or something that was like, wow, I didn't think I could, something that surprised you?
So I think my favorite scrap to cook is potato peels. It's really tragic. They're so nutritious and people peel them and throw them away. All you have to do is deep fry them and they taste like chips.
Yeah, they are. They're yummy. Definitely. That's definitely a good idea. Or you can even put them in the air fryer, put a little bit of olive oil on them, and there you go. That's great. Great idea. All great ideas. Terrilyn, tell people where they can find you and find the book also.
So my book is should be sold by most bookstores. So you can find it if you go online. It'll definitely be at like Books a Million, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, and some independent bookstores. For social media, I'm on most outlets. So I'm on Reddit, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. But my TikTok I think has been the most fun because that's where I've been posting most of my new ideas.
Oh, that's great. And people can just look you up at Terrilyn Pilgrim at all those sites. Okay, great. All right, well, thank you and much success with the book, No Scrap Left Behind. Great. I love the ideas and hopefully people will become more conscious of this whole thing, so of not wasting food. Great. Thank you, Terrilyn. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Embark on a culinary journey with me and my Gourmand World award-winning book series, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. Discover the secrets to authentic Italian dishes that will wow your family and friends. Bring the essence of Italy to your table. Grab your copy of The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Holidays and Special Occasions, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Da Vinci Style, and The Basic Art of Italian Cooking at Amazon.com and anywhere books are sold, along with MariaLiberati.com and ArtOfLivingPrimaMedia.com. Thanks for listening to the Maria Liberati Show, and thanks to my special guest this week. And also, just a reminder that my best of products holiday guide for 2024, yes, it is almost holiday time, will soon be coming out. And we have been reviewing, searching out lots of really, really interesting products, great products that you'll find at the MariaLiberatiShow.com blog. So please take a look, and you can also follow me on Instagram at MariaLiberati.com, and you may see some reels of really interesting and unique. Some are really unique products that you might want to consider giving as a holiday gift. Gift giving time is always difficult because you're always thinking of what can I give this person or that person. And if you want to come up with a really nice gift, take a look at our holiday gift guides. We probably will have more than one. And I just wanted to, first of all, tell you again, if you follow me on Instagram.com, and that's at Maria Liberati, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook at Chef Maria Liberati, on Pinterest at Maria Liberati, on Twitter or X at Maria Liberati. You can also see cooking videos and videos of some of my podcasts on my YouTube channel, The Maria Liberati Show. The YouTube channel is called The Maria Liberati Show. And also, videos are on Vimeo at Maria Liberati. And of course, you can always find me on my webpage, marialiberati.com, the webpage of this show, themarialiberatishow.com, and my Gourmand World award-winning book series, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. You can find that on Amazon, on Kindle, and really anywhere books are sold, as well as the publisher's website, artoflivingprimamedia.com, and my website, marialiberati.com. And I just wanted to give a shout out to some of the products. These are not all, but these are some of the products so far that will be on my Best of Products gift guide for 2025. So we have Mary Ellen's cakepops.com, yummy cake pops. Blue Toby, which makes a really great bed for dogs. It's a great quality bed, sustainable. It's called Blue Toby. FranceLux.com, which makes some great luxury products. American Skillet Company, Tate's Bake Shop. Yum, yummy cookies from Tate's Bake Shop. The Earth Foam Pillow, Klatch Coffee, Beverly Hills MD. They make some great skincare products. High Camp Flasks. They're these beautiful flasks. You'll want to see them. Yes, apples are yummy, fresh apples. Nuts.com, great gifts for foodies on nuts.com. And the Santa Clothes, which is a great Santa that you can use almost like an advent calendar. It's called Santa Clothes. And Okeely Lights, last but not least, Okeely Lights. And OKELI. And you can take a look and you'll see some of those products on my blog and in some of my reels also. And just a reminder, I will be doing my Taste of Italy tour cooking classes for the Bucks County Community College in, let's see, there's a few more left for the month of October and November. Each session concentrates on a specific area of Italy, and that's offered through their continuing education department. You can call the Bucks County Community College in Newtown, Pennsylvania, if you'd like to register. Registration is limited. I'm not sure which classes are still available, but you can give them a call. And on Saturday, November 9th, I will be at the Doylestown Free Library doing a book signing. It is the Bucks County Authors Fair, and you'll get to also meet some of your favorite authors there that are from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. So that's on Saturday, November 9th at the Doylestown Free Library in Doylestown, Pennsylvania from 10:30 to 1 p.m. And I just would like to leave you with one of my favorite sayings about autumn. Autumn carries more gold in its pocket than all the other seasons. And that was from Jim Bishop. Yes, it does. Peace, love, and pasta. Until next week.